All right, Joe Lisi, you heard JT the Brick extolled his virtues. You know, I love him. I have him on every single week. I'm a big college football guy. And, you know, after weeks and weeks and months of talking about it and reading his wonderful publication online and getting the actual magazine, gophertheTwo.com, we got a taste of it last night. And I will say this, your preview of Miami, Florida was right on the money. We talked about a great Manny Diaz defense that would keep Miami in the game. If they could eliminate mistakes, they could even win the game. That's exactly the way it went. And they did, in fact, like you said, cover the spread.
Yeah, great, great cover by Miami. I mean, they started fast. Love the play calling by Dan Enos in the first quarter. Four straight passes to come out to allow Williams to get acclimated to that offense. And credit the defense. I mean, they held Florida 2-10 on third down conversions, but their inability to convert on third down conversions really was the Achilles heel for Miami.
Well, they beat the hell out of him, too. The kid, John Williams, he got sacked 10 times. When you consider 10 sacks for a loss of 60 yards, 14 penalties for minus 125 yards, it's really a miracle they were even in that game. I mean, they got four turnovers, I understand that, but you can't 10 sacks and 14 penalties?
Well, first game, you're going to work out the kinks, especially with a new offensive line, and that was the concern for Miami. I think as the game progressed, you saw the pressure on that offensive line. And in the fourth quarter alone, so once they fell behind in that matchup, they became more predictable as an offense, and that's why he got sacked 10 times in that matchup.
Kid DJ Dallas can play, huh?
Jeff Thomas is going to be a player as well.
He had a couple of nice catches and one beautiful play last night, too. Let's get to the games coming up here, though. I know you got a bunch of games you want to pick on August 31, which is Saturday. One big one, the last one for really week one, September 2nd, between Notre Dame and Louisville. But Danny B earlier picked this game, too. It's Thursday night. It is Utah, a five-point favorite on the road at BYU. The Cougars, a home dog. Joe Lisi, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, it's the holy war. Utah has won eight straight in this matchup. The last four games have been decided by 5.5 total points, and that's the spread in this matchup. You'll see anywhere 5, 5.5, possibly 4.5 by game time. But I like BYU in this matchup. Because of the quarterback play, Zach Wilson, he came on last year, completed 65% of his passes, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, different offense. That's the way you have to challenge Utah over the top of their secondary, and I'm giving the edge to BYU. I like them with the points and on the money line in that battle.
Money line, too?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, so BYU plus the 5, maybe money line as well coming up on Thursday night. Let's move to Saturday. It has been a rough go for Taggart at Florida State. Boy, it feels like Bowden was like a million years ago. Even Jimbo Fisher, when he won with Jameis Winston. And you know it when the Seminoles play their first game at home and are favored by less than a touchdown. But that's the case. They are 5.5-point favorites Saturday against Boise State. In Jacksonville this game, mind you. What happens in the northern part of the state?
Well, I think you're seeing the line. It opened at 4. They jumped it up to 5.5. A lot of money coming in on Florida State. I'm not sold on this team. Very undisciplined last year with Willie Taggart, one of the worst penalized teams in FBS. But their inability to run the football last year, Sid, ranked 126th out of 129 teams in FBS, only averaging 88 rushing yards per game, to me is the Achilles heel for this team as well. And I'm taking the more disciplined team. What I think the better head coach and Brian Harsin. Give me Boise State plus the 5.5 in this matchup.
You know, yesterday both underdogs covered.
Mm-hmm.
The Hurricanes were getting 7, 7.5. They lost by 4. Arizona was a double-digit favorite at Hawaii, and the home team won by a touchdown. So far, the Dogs are 2-0 on the season, and the first two games you picked here, you took the dog both times.
When you have 4 months of preparation, it always benefits the underdog.
Yeah.
We know who the favorite is, but we don't know what to expect out of the underdog. And when you look at Willie Taggart in terms of week one preparation, last year against Virginia Tech, he did not step up, and I don't think it continues. A lot of people expecting a 360-degree turnaround. I just don't see it. I need to see it first before I buy in.
All right, Joe Lisi, gophertheTwo.com. This is a very intriguing matchup. Auburn, always a very, very solid football team. They're going to host Oregon. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that Justin Herbert may be the best quarterback in the country, maybe better than Tua at Alabama, better than Lawrence. In fact, at Clemson, he's the only other guy I see, other quarterback that is really getting mentioned in the Heisman talk, more than Ellinger or the rest of those guys. And his team is getting 3.5 points at Auburn. This should be a high-scoring affair, no?
You would think. Bo Nix is a freshman. He's starting for Auburn. But I look at Auburn's body of work since 2014 on the road or on a neutral field site, 14-16 overall. That's a 466 winning percentage. And I think they're favored in this matchup because they beat Washington last year 21-16. Same SEC Pac-12 battle. But Herbert's
but they had the quarterback there at Auburn for the last 2 years, the kid Stidham.
That's right, lighting it up for New England. So they covered that battle by only 5 points. Oregon's a lethal offense. Juwan Johnson, big play wide receiver from Penn State. I think they challenge Auburn in this battle. I'm not sold on Gus Malzahn. Give me Oregon in that matchup. I like him on the money line as well to strike the upset.
I agree. That's a three consecutive underdogs here, folks. How about that? When will we get a favorite? Maybe this one. USC coming up on Saturday. I think you're not going to give them the edge here either. Nearly a 2-touchdown favorite against Fresno State. The home Trojans are laying 13.5. Now, on the surface, to me, and I'm not as caught up as you are, that seems like a lot of points against a Fresno State team that comes off a very good season. The quarterback did get injured, but they can score some points. Trojans, do you lay the 13.5?
I do. Lyon opened up at 10.5. They bet it up to 13.5. But it's a new offense with Graham Harrell and big play wide receivers, Vaughns, Pittman, and St. Brown. That group, 159 receptions, 2,182 receiving yards, 15 receiving touchdowns. The speed of USC is the difference. I think they run away with this. This is one of the winnable games for USC. They started slow against UNLV last year. They cover this number.
Let's go to two teams now that are nearly 3-touchdown favorites on the road. We're laying some wood here, Joe Lisi. Go for the 2.com. We'll go back to the 31st. You got Georgia, who most people think are firmly planted as that 3 team, right? Clemson, Alabama, maybe Alabama, Clemson, but then Georgia. Georgia starts their season in the state of Tennessee, laying 20.5 against Vanderbilt. Do you lay that wood with the Bulldogs on the road week one?
I don't. I think Vanderbilt's a live dog in this matchup, and I'm a Bulldog fan, and everybody's looking at Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, but the inexperience at the wide receiver position to me is the difference.
They lost all 6 of their top wide receivers.
Correct, and you look at Vanderbilt, they're a lethal team. They have a transfer from Ball Street, quarterback Riley Neal. Keyshawn Vaughn's one of the most underrated SEC running backs. Lipscomb, the wide receiver, and Pinckney, this is a lethal offense at home in Nashville. SEC game, week one, give me the 20.5, 21. I like Vandy.
But Vandy did lose, and I only know this because I'm a Giant fan, and I'm back at Giant training camp on Tuesday. The head coach of the Giants, of course, is Pat Shurmur. His son spent the last couple of years at quarterback at Vandy, and he did leave. So they got a young kid at quarterback in Vandy.
Well, yeah, right. If Riley Neal gets a nod, he's a Ball State transfer that threw for 7,000 yards at Ball State. He's a senior, so he's a graduate transfer. He has experience. It's a step up in competition, but he's a mobile quarterback as well. Kyle Shurmur was more of a pocket passer, so that'll be the difference. And like I said, 4 months of preparation, a lot of pressure on Georgia. The bullseye is on this team's back to get back to the SEC championship game. I just don't think they do it.
The kid that was a quarterback for Georgia a couple years ago was Jacob Eason. He left. He's gone to Washington, right?
Correct.
He's a starter now for the Huskies?
Yes.
How does he look so far?
He looks good. He got named the starter. He had a year off in preparation, led his team 2 years ago, 8-5 overall record. They averaged 238 through the air last year. But this is going to be a lethal offense. They're going to challenge defenses vertically. And to me, that's the difference in why I'm buying into the Huskies in 2019.
They are clearly the best team inside the Pac-12.
You could split hairs between Washington, Oregon. A lot of people in Vegas like Utah. Utah struggles against speed teams. Teams like Oregon, teams like Washington can challenge that defense vertically. That's why I'm not bought into Utah in 2019.
All right, last game, September 2nd. That wraps up week one. Monday night up there, the Fighting Irish. A lot of people excited about them. Ian Book is back. He was tremendous for Brian Kelly last year. They're laying 20 over at Louisville. Boy, it seems like Lamar Jackson was a long time ago. And they were a team that can score points and win games and get talked about. Now they've been getting run over for years. They're nearly a 3-touchdown underdog at home against the Fighting Irish on September the 2nd. Do you lay the wood?
I do, because you have a new head coach in Scott Satterfield for Louisville. But here's the matchup. Notre Dame rushed for 187 last year. Louisville, over the last 6 games, allowed 323 rushing yards per game, 26 rushing touchdowns against opponents with a combined overall winning percentage of 727%. They allowed 5 of 12 opponents to rush for over 300. 0-5 in those games, and they lost those games, Sid, by 38.8 points per game. I know there's no Dexter Williams, but they still have the offensive line to wear down Louisville at the point of attack.
All right, so that basically covers most. I mean, we did go over five games last week that are being played the next week or so.
Right.
Games like Houston, Oklahoma, games like Northwestern, Stanford.
Virginia.
Virginia, right. So for folks who want those picks, they can get those at gophorthetwo.com,
right? They can go up. I did videos last week. It's all the picks are up on the website, and we can go through them. I like Virginia. I like Houston. I like Duke. I like Northwestern as well. So
such a good website. I mean, it's so far and away better than ESPN or Fox. I swear to God. I mean, I it's on my phone. It's on my iPad. It's everywhere. I got a big college game. I want to hear from Joe Lisi and gophorthetwo.com. And today you were amazing again. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Love the show.
Love you. BYU, Boise State, Oregon, USC, Notre Dame, and Vanderbilt are the six picks from Lisi today.